Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good morning or good afternoon for you on the East Coast, and welcome to Mindshifter Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169, or you can join us in the chat room and ask your questions there. And we had an awesome show yesterday, a lot of people calling in and asking questions and talking, and we'd appreciate hearing from you, especially those who maybe have been working on doing some of the worksheets this week and giving us your feedback on what's going on. Michael, it's all yours.
Thank you, sweetie. Delight to be with you today, and it's a gorgeous day out here in Las Vegas, Nevada. A little bit breezy, probably about 75 degrees and sunny, so we're enjoying the weather here. And holding the space for those who've had some storms in other parts of the country to be well and to do well. And delighted that you're here. Are there any callers, Jeannie, or anything in the chat room to start us off? Otherwise, I have a thought I'd like to proceed with today.
No, there's several people out there listening, but nobody's got their hand up yet, so go for it.
And do we have David and or Terry on the line?
David's on the line, and he is turned on.
Good morning, David. We're glad you're turned on. How are you this morning, sir?
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was saying good morning. I did. You mentioned your name.
I didn't know if you had said something to me. I was on. I was waiting for the show to come on, and David Metz called me, and he had a question, and I invited him to come on the radio and ask the question on the radio. So he should be in line, so whenever that he comes in online, well then, Jeannie, if you want to open it up for him, well then he has a couple questions.
Okay,
so,
well, there's there are several people, but nobody has hit one, so if, David, if you are listening and you're one of the callers that has called in, if you'll hit one on your phone, it'll let me know, because I don't recognize your phone number, so I don't know which one of the people that's sitting out there listening might be you.
Yeah,
but
it'll be a 417
number. It will
give
me a hand.
It'll be a 417 number, and so.
Okay, then he's not on there. David Hayes is the only 417 that's out there right now.
Okay, great. Well, good morning, and is Terry with you this morning, David?
Is what?
Is Terry with you this morning?
Not at this particular moment. Richard is here, and Terry and him were over there at the other location, and I expect them over here within a few minutes, though.
Cool. Fabulous. Very good. Well, the thought I wanted to start out with this morning, and I'll just go on into that, and if David comes on, we'll certainly be delighted to.
He just now came on, so I'm going to turn him on. David, you are now on.
Would that be me, David?
That's David Metz.
Good morning, David Metz. How are you this morning? How are things in Springfield, Missouri?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Just rocking along here in sunny Las Vegas.
Oh, sounds like fun.
Yeah, we're back here for the second time on this tour, totally unexpectedly. It wasn't planned. There's a physician, a medical doctor here who's involved in five or six different clinics who's writing prescriptions to people to do forgiveness worksheets. And we've been training his staff and especially his medical assistants in supporting people in the work of forgiveness. So we've been in three different medical clinics working with people individually and doing classes in Spanish. It's been awesome. It's been an incredible journey. And we did three weeks. Oh, I guess it was longer than that. 4 weeks back in November, and so we're back again. So, what's on your mind this morning, David? I understand you may have a question or two. I'd be delighted to entertain and see if I can support you with answers.
Well, thank you. I have. I didn't think I'd be this, but which is great. I'm going to start my patience in a little bit, but I've been through worksheets probably for 4.5 months. There's been over 300, and basically just wondering if you can do worksheets on dreams, because now I'm getting a lot of interesting things the past month that really don't make any sense.
Right. Yeah, that is an awesome place to do worksheets. And, you know, any object of attention, especially if it brings something less than love up, is a perfect situation for a worksheet. And, you know, one of the things I love to point out to people is dreams come from the firing of brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in truth, most people's waking life comes from exactly the same place, or so-called waking life,
yeah.
comes just from the firing of brain cells. And few people ever actually make the leap into experiencing what's actually going on in the world. They experience their mind's interpretation as
yes.
a picture, and they think that what they're looking at in their mind is coming from what's out there, when what we're looking at in our mind is coming from what's in here. And so one of the objectives of the work is to get past the dream and to wake up. So you can take a perfect place to do just the same as you would on any other reality that can show up in your mind that has any form of that which is less than love.
It's kind of interesting. That was really my only question. I guess you just kind of write down the theme of whatever did occur, just as if it was someone standing here right now, and go through it.
Yeah, it's just another reality in the mind that you want to go to a deeper level. And, you know, the tendency for dreams is to come from below the barrier of conscious mm-hmm. awareness, what we usually see in our waking dreams. There's actually an interesting group who are doing a thing. A woman named Lynn Twist started a thing called the Panchamama Alliance, and the Ashuar Indians in Ecuador were on, I don't know how many hundreds, thousands, or millions of acres of land that they have inhabited forever, and all of a sudden the boys with the tractors and the chainsaws started to come in, and they wanted to haul out the timber, and they wanted to take the mining, you know, the minerals, and they wanted to explore for oil. And the Ashuar Indians knew they were in trouble, and they don't live in the same reality as we do. They don't live in the firing of brain cells. They live in a little different world. And so in their intuitive state, they had the wisdom, although these people had never left, had never seen civilization, had never left their remote areas in Ecuador, they had the guidance to contact someone in the United States, which they did, and formed an alliance. It's called the Panchamama Alliance, and they have gotten guidance and support from people here in America. And in order to deal with this situation, and it's the first country in the world, and these are people who are working beyond the dream state, it's the first country in the world that has actually gotten a legislature to pass legal rights to a native population and ownership of their land, and that the land actually has legal rights. And so what the Ashuar explained to the Americans who are supporting them was that the Americans are living in a bad dream and that they need to be awakened. So there's actually the Panchamama Alliance goes around the country training people to present this seminar, and presenting the seminar called Awakening the Dreamer, and inviting people to awaken from the bad dreams based in hostility and fear. And there, the message from these, you know, what our modern minds would call primitives, the message was, you need a different dream.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just so awesome what these people are doing and what they have done on a global basis. They set a precedent for something to show up that's never shown up before, and that is, to me, is one of the powers of our true spiritual being, that we're not designed to just replicate whatever's gone on, to dream out of whatever's happened in our generations and such, but we are designed to bring something new into the world. Each and every one of us has that higher purpose, and as we pass our dream states, we have the ability to bring something new, and our dream states can give us something new as well if we're not stuck in our hostilities and fears. That's a great question to bring into the camp today. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That was a very simple answer. I appreciate it. And thanks for everything you guys have done, and it's just been awesome. And it's impacted my family and me and my business more than I can express in words. So,
is there anything, you know, what, one of the things we'd love to hear, of course, are the stories and the way that's happened, because when people first start to hear about this, oh, I'm going to go inside myself and forgive, what does that mean? You got to be crazy. How does that change things? And it takes time to get to go, oh, you can change everything.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty inspiring, and I don't know if you've got anything you'd be willing to share about what you've seen change in your world, in your family system or your business, as you say. Anything to share in that regard that might inspire others?
I think just pretty much everything changes. I don't think there's any component of my life that hasn't changed. I couldn't think of one area that has not changed. I have a wife and four children and a business and interactions with people and sports and all the modern stresses that go along with everything. And I think the biggest summary is you just see, you hear, you feel everything differently. It's almost like now you can't remember what you would see, hear, and feel before.
It's the old dream.
Well, yeah, it's very. That's why I laughed when you said that. It's just a totally different. It's difficult to communicate now. I was at a point where, you know, I probably did about 5 worksheets a day for, you know, almost 4.5 months, and I can't even get it into words now. And I think sometimes instead of whatever it is I used to have. Now I interact with more confusion for a while instead of, you know, the hostility or whatever it was, the fear. Which is good, and I think that's starting to peel off too, but I think sometimes I misinterpret the confusion because I'm not hostile as much. You know, it's confusing.
What's wrong with me? I'm supposed to be hostile here.
Yeah, so I think just everything... there's just not a component in my life that hasn't changed. There's nowhere that it hasn't touched my kids. And my kids, just my second was telling me last night that she goes, I don't really know what it is, but I'm just so much more relaxed. And, you know, just everything. So I'm very appreciative. It's impossible to go through all the specifics, mainly because I have a patient that just walked through the door, but... everything changes,
okay.
And I can't think of anything other than to encourage people to take the jump and to be real with it, not to hurry yourself through it, not to just go through the motions, but to actually participate. And,
you know, if I can intervene here for just a moment,
yeah.
One of the things that David did was that when David did find out about this, was that he signed up and did the building the brain cells. And that commitment, to me, is what really, his level of commitment to do that is what brought him along so quickly. And I don't know if you want to add anything to that, David, or not.
Well,
that to me was really significant.
I'd been looking for it for a while, so I was very grateful to find something to lock into that dealt with me and was... accountability isn't an accurate word because I don't know the word for it, but it was something to lock into to consistently participate, to not look outside or to anything else or to self-improvement, but to lock into something that was going to continue to change me from the inside out.
Well, that's awesome, David, and thank you for sharing that with us. And if at any point it feels appropriate to call in and share anything more specific, because the specifics where people have things that just, you know, this isn't changeable, when somebody hears, oh, that's possible? Wow, that opens a space in them. And thank you for your call.
Yeah.
We'll leave the space for you to get back to your patient, and we'll carry on. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for your time.
Okay, blessings.
All right, bye-bye.
You know, there's a cute story. I don't know whether I shared this with you, David, but there's a cute story about the, you know, the question of what did the Zen master say to the hot dog vendor? And the Zen master said, "Make me one with everything." And then after getting his hot dog and asking how much it is, he's told it's $3. So he gives the vendor a $5 bill, and the vendor walks away. And he's like, well, wait a minute, what about my change? And the hot dog vendor says, don't you know that all change comes from within? All change comes from within.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm gonna see if that works in some actuality with some folks out there.
Yeah, I think that is in a cute way. But anyway, yeah, all change comes from within. When we're sitting around going, somebody else is the one with the problem, you know, if only they'd stop doing it to me. And that was kind of the direction I was going to go this morning. So thank you, David, if you're still listening. You've set the tone and the direction for, or expanded the tone and the direction of where we wanted to go. And yesterday I put forward the thought that I use often, and I want to start with that one again, is if they're the one with the problem, why are you the one with the pain? And obviously it's logical that the one with the pain is the one with the problem. And once we recognize that, then we can start to bypass the lies of the dreaming mind. And the lies of the dreaming mind are, I have pain and it's caused by you. If only you'd change, my pain would go away. Now, if we can get somebody to change, the stimulus that shows us our internal pain that needs to be changed is gone, so it seems like the pain is gone, but you'll notice it's not very long before you find somebody else or perhaps the same person to bring it up again. And one of the principles we work with in the whole Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop is that the human mind is an evidential device. That means that it only gives you information that you give it permission to give you. And that permission is given by words. So when I say, you hurt me, what I say to my mind internally is, mind, dig me up a reality that shows that they're the cause of my pain, that they hurt me, and you're only allowed to go to my file on them. And so my mind hallucinates a reality and shows me a picture, a literal picture. We have a picture maker in there. It shows me a picture of them causing my pain. When I start to move toward that idea that all change comes from within and responsibility is a key, and I start to change my thinking and my words, then I move into a conversation inside myself that says, someone has done something that has resonated my pain. Now I've given my mind a whole different set of permissions. Mind, go to my file on me and show me how I've created this pain. All pain comes from within. Kind of like all change comes from within. All pain comes from within. No pain is caused from without. And people say, well, what if somebody hit me, canceled the thought, hit me over the head with a 2x4? Yeah, okay, the 2x4 hurts. But what is it in me that put me in the place where somebody be hitting me over the head with a 2x4? You know, the person who's traveling down the road and gets hit by a Mack truck says, well, I was obviously hurt by the Mack truck. Well, externally that's true. However, what is it in you that had you so distracted that you didn't see the Mack truck coming or that your intuition didn't tell you about it? There's a young lady that I worked with in South Florida several years ago when I had a private practice there, and she was into breeding horses. And she came to a session, and she had her truck and her trailer hooked up to it and shared with me that she was getting ready to go and pick up her horse and take it up to Central Florida to be bred. So she did an extremely poignant and powerful piece of work around her relationship with her mother and left the session in a very, I guess I'd say, tender state, and got in her truck, went and picked up her horse. And if you know, so this was in Del Rey, if you know Highway 27 in Central Florida, it's kind of like this straight shot right up the middle of the state. So she's driving up Highway 27, and, you know, you can see for a long distance on most parts of that highway, and she can see well ahead that she's got a clear space to pass a transport truck that's moving rather slowly. So she pulls out and starts to pass this transport truck, and gets just about to where she's going to pass the cab of the truck, which is where the wind shear is going to hit her car. And she said that the voice in her head was as clear as my voice was speaking to her. A voice in her head said, back off, pull off the road, and check the lug nuts on your wheels. She listened to that voice. She pulled off the road. And when she looked, the front right tire or wheel had no lug nuts on it. If she had hit that wind shear, it probably would have taken the wheel off, and chances are she'd have been dead. She listened. She was guided. You and I, if we're listening, if we're not stuck in our hostility and fear-based minds. Now, you'll remember in the ancient teachings where they understood this process, they said that it was a still, small voice. It's very quiet. You can't hear that voice that will guide you in everything while there's a lot of emotional noise going on, a lot of raucous noise going on inside of you. It just can't be heard. But once you do, and as David just shared, his daughter came to him. I believe he said it was his daughter. And it's like, Dad, it's just, I don't know what's happened, but, you know, life is just more peaceful. Why? Because the stresses of hostility and fear are gone. And when the stresses are of hostility or fear are gone, we become a receptacle. We're designed to be a receptacle for the presence of love. In fact, in the Aramaic language, the word prayer means to set a trap for God. That is, just like a television antenna pulls in channel 2, you're designed to pull in the active presence of love. That's what the human form is designed for. And we've been filled with all kinds of hostilities and fears to keep us out of that. It's time for a wake up. And in that wake up comes, well, in the ancient teachings, they talked about it as the peace that passes all understanding. What does that peace come from? That peace comes from the presence of a human life. Think about the newborn. If the newborn wasn't jerked into the world in a traumatic way, or after it got past its trauma, tap into that newborn, and they are the state of peace. That's how we're designed to live our lives. And we've bought into cultural and familial brainwashing that is crazy. It's just plain crazy. And as David shared, he picked up the pen and made a commitment by joining the Building the Brain Cells game, and his commitment was to do 5 worksheets a day. And I think he said over 3.5 months he committed, and he did 5 worksheets a day. And everything in his life has changed. That's how you change everything in your life. You don't change everything in your life by efforting and struggling and fighting against someone else and pretending that the evidential pictures your mind is showing you from within are true about somebody or something out there. The one thing that you always know by the fact that a reality shows up in your mind is that reality is contained in your mind. It's true about you. It may or may not be true about somebody else, but if it's painful, it's irrelevant whether it's true about anybody else. You remember in the ancient teachings, the man named Yeshua said, why are you trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye? Well, you have a log in your own. And it's time for us to wake up and to start to do the work that frees us from the insanity of our cultural brainwashing. And so that's what we're here to support you in, individually, collectively, that we as humanity move past the insanities that we've had put on us for thousands of years. It's been thousands of years that it's been going on. And, I mean, I have seen people with the worst rages and the worst hates and the worst of the worst of the worst who move into peaceful lives, who look at the person who is their enemy and see love. It's possible because it's all an inside job. As the hot dog vendor said, all change comes from within. So, Jeannie, do we have any callers or anything happening in the chat room that we need to know about? Going to have to unmute your phone, sweetie.
All right. We have got, I don't know if the chat room is running, like the system itself is running slow or something, because, like, I just now tried to type something in and it's, like, not wanting to take it. We have only 4 people in the chat room today, which is unusual. We've been having, like, 25, 30 people out there. But we do have six people listening on the phone, but nobody has their hand up. So there are no questions.
Michael, do you have any thoughts to share with us?
Who did you ask?
David. It sounds like you're out in the wind, are you?
Yeah, let me see something here. Okay, how's that?
That doesn't work. You need to mute your phone. Go ahead and speak. Let's see.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. You know, I was having some thoughts around a couple of things this morning. I thought this might make for a good conversation on the show today. And I invite the folks that are listening in to go ahead and press the 1 and risk it and ask a question, because that is part of the process, you know, just staying in the mind and processing it over and over and agreeing with it. Well, then it's really great. And when we disagree, it's even wonderful as well, for it gives us an opportunity to see something and hear something a little bit new. And I wondered, Michael, if you would talk about why is it it's so important, one, to do the forgiveness work, two, why is it that people want other people to forgive them? What's the purpose in that? Why is it that we go through our life and we have the thought, wow, I really want that person to forgive me, or why don't I want that person to forgive me? So do you have some thoughts around that?
Well, for sure, the whole game, of course, of forgiveness has been removed from our culture, the actual game of forgiveness. And the game of forgiveness, or the process of forgiveness, is a way that when your mind is producing some form of fear or hostility-based experience, you recognize that the fear or hostility-based experience comes from within. You can't feel a fear or hostility-based experience from without. And actual forgiveness is that of going in and removing the root of the hostility or fear and the stresses associated with that hostility or fear. You relieve from the cell the chemistry of hostility and fear, the stress of hostility and fear, and the pain that goes along with it. So that's the actual process of forgiveness. And I think we live in a culture, you know, because we live in a culture that says it's all somebody else did it to me, somebody else created this painful experience for me, and or I created a painful experience for someone else, and I just desperately want them to approve of me. And the game that the world plays is that approval is love. So that what they're saying is, I want them to love me, and if they just forgive me, if they'd let me off the hook, then I would feel approved of, accepted. And I think that's one of the most basic needs of the human being. But we've got it all backward, because we're playing this process out of, I caused their pain, they caused mine, I forgive them, they forgive me. And you know, that sounds pretty good. However, nothing that you do in that regard removes the root of the hostility or fear that either party is experiencing. And so they're going to go back and get to play it out again and again and again. You know, those who never learn the actual process of forgiveness get to live in the world of, why is this happening to me again? And most people come to this work because of pain, and pain has this really awesomely wonderful purpose, and its purpose is to make our ears grow, to get us to wake up to what we're doing to ourselves, and to change the internal dynamic of what we're doing to ourselves. So forgiveness is how you go inside and change the internal dynamic, and when you change the internal dynamic, it changes the external dynamics of your world. And so what we're looking to do is to wake up to a new state of being and to learn to truly let loose of what is in us that does not belong in us. We're not forgiving ourselves. We're not forgiving another. We're applying the Aramaic tool of forgiveness to the resident hostility and fear in order to remove that, in order to get free of that. And so that's where we want to go with this process of forgiveness. And so that would be my take on your thoughts there, David. And, you know, the evidential mind, when you start realizing, there's some interesting Harvard research that says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, that is, there are 10,000 measurable units of electrical activity firing in the brain, the maximum amount of information that goes into the picture world that we see is 9 bits. So out of 10,000 firings of brain cells, we get to see 9 bits of data. And it's been estimated in the same time frame there are approximately 20 trillion bits of data available in the actual world. When we look at the data in a 9-bit mind, we think we're looking at what's going on in the world, and we're not looking at what's going on in the world. We're looking at our brain's replica of it, and it's based in whatever that situation in the world fires in us. So if it fires hostility or fear, we say, that caused my hostility or fear, instead of going, I'm seeing through the filters of hostility and fear. You might remember Paul 2,000 years ago said, we see as though through a glass darkly. When we've got hostility or fear, we're not seeing what's happening in the world. We're seeing our mind's overlay, and then when our mind serves it up in that 9-bit fashion, we think we're actually looking at what's happening out there. Once you realize you're looking at what's happening in here, and your pain is just a signal that you're doing this to yourself. All pain, all hostility and fear is a signal that you're engaging in building pictures out of something that doesn't exist except as a frequency within you. And when you become aware of it and you decide to change that, everything starts to change. And what we're looking to do is to support people in changing everything. Everything that is unlike love. And it's possible to do. But if you refuse to own that your hostility and fear comes from within, you deny ownership of that, you dissociate from it. What you dissociate from is now out of your control. You can't change what you've dissociated from, you can't rethink what you've dissociated from, and whenever that dissociated information is resonated by something in the world, it will take over your behavior. So you can choose 1,000 times and say, I'm never going to behave like that again. I'm going to do something totally different. And you mean it. But when the stress is up and the chips are down, and that hostility or fear-based reality is there, the behaviors that go along with that hostility or fear take over against your own will and choice. And there's no choice about that. You can critically reason that that doesn't make sense and I'm going to do it differently. Critical thinking does not change the dissociated mind. New choices do not change the dissociated mind. Disapproving of yourself, being hostile and fearful for yourself, for your behaviors that come from the dissociated mind, will never change it. What changes it is forgiveness. And the Aramaic tool of forgiveness is how you go in and you collapse the projections of the dissociated mind. Now that you've collapsed the projections of the dissociated mind, it's no longer dissociated. You're back in direct interaction with it. And that's when you have the power to change it. When it's in hiding in you, when it's projected onto someone else, you can't change it because it's not yours to change. So the awesome technology that was figured out 2,000 years ago of how to forgive was totally turned around backward and made into a tool for letting other people off the hook for what's happening in us, which means we stay stuck in what's happening in us. We get to live, why is this happening to me again and again and again? And as you actually begin to forgive, and if you're new to the conversation, we're delighted that you're here. You can go to the website free at www.whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. The first two items under that link, the first one is an explanation of how the process is done, and the second item is the actual worksheet. We invite you to download those two worksheets. That's what David, that called in earlier, was saying that he's been doing. He did five a day, has done five a day for about 3.5 months. He was introduced to this work back 3.5 months ago. And he picked up the challenge and he started to do it. And you heard him. Everything in his life has changed. His business, his family, his internal dynamics, everything has changed. How he feels about everything. And that's what happens when we allow ourselves to consistently collapse the dissociated mind. In the ancient scriptures, the dissociated mind was called the desert. And what we invite people to do is to take that worksheet, start off if you need to, and do just one a day. But preferable, as David did, pick up and be committed enough to do five a day. And what happens is you find as each time you collapse the projections from your dissociated mind, you come in touch with something you didn't know about yourself. And when you come in touch with that something, you get the opportunity to change it. When you change that which is within yourself, you've changed the root of everything your mind shows you. And now your mind shows you a different world. And, you know, it's a trick to think it's a miracle that, you know, people say, well, those other people changed. Look at that. Isn't this awesome? Well, actually, no. Your realities about them changed. And that tends to inspire change in others, too. But the primary change happens when you shift the filter through which you're perceiving those people in your life. And so we invite you to pick up that worksheet process, put it to work in your life. And everything you could possibly experience, no matter how terrible it seems outside of you, everything you could possibly experience in the way of hostility or fear can be collapsed with that worksheet and changed. And that's what we're here to support you doing. David.
One of the thoughts that I had as you were talking about that is often within there's a conversation that I hear from others and from myself, and the conversation goes something like, I know that. I know that. Well, I know that. I know what you mean. I understand that. I know exactly. Yeah. And I've done that. And I know that. So what's to me, that's if I remind myself, and especially when I do hear myself talking, as if I know that, I'm reminded of what Einstein said: was the more that he knew, the more he knew he didn't know anything. And so I wondered, you know, what do we say to people? What do I say to people and to myself? What do I do when I hear that wonderful phrase of, well, yep, I know that. What's that usually an indication of?
Well, it's interesting. Over the years, I spent years and years and years researching to find the original Aramaic forgiveness process. And in finding that and sharing it with people, I'll often have people who come to the Wise Assignment to Me Again workshop. And they'll go, well, I already knew that. It's like, well, then, why are you in drama and trauma and pain? And, you know, one of the games of the non-being mind, what we call the non-being mind, the mind based in hostility or fear, is it wants to be right. And so it's pretense. I mean, I've seen so many people when I introduced the Aramaic technology, and it took years to ferret this out. This is not common knowledge. It was disappeared 2,000 years ago. And finding it was an interesting challenge and task. And to hear so many people go, yeah, well, I already do that. It's like, and what I do with that, David, is I just take a breath and let it go, because when somebody's into, I already knew it and I'm proving that I'm right, the discussion is just about futile. Okay, hang out with it, go for it. It was interesting, and this, you know, I've been doing this work for 40 years and the Aramaic forgiveness work, I've been developing for almost 30. I was getting ready to start a support group at a medical center out in Pahrump, Nevada on Tuesday night. Dr. Andraki had invited us out there to speak at his medical center. And as we're waiting for the group to gather, there's a woman that comes out who is a patient there, is on several medications, has fibromyalgia and migraine headaches. And I said, well, you know, why don't she's just taking care of her bill and she's getting ready to leave. I said, well, you know, why don't you stay with us? We're going to do a thing on forgiveness. And she said, well, tell me about it. What are you doing? I said, well, you know, we're working with the Aramaic process of forgiveness. And she says, this is the first person in 30 years of doing this that I've met that actually knew. Now, she didn't know how to do it, but she knew about it. First person that actually knew about it. And she said, when I started to talk about Aramaic forgiveness, she said, oh, you mean like real forgiveness? And I looked at her like, yes. And she says, you mean like the internal forgiveness? And I just looked at her, it's like, how did you know that? And she said that she'd been at a Bible college actually in Missouri in Aramaic studies. And she got that. She never got to where she knew how to do it. But she understood that there was an internal process of forgiveness to be done. In a way that I've never seen anybody else understand. It was awesome. So she stayed. And as we went through and we got to the piece, which of course intuitively looks backward to people when they start to do the worksheet, of canceling the goal that they had, she just sat back. Now, she had just had a shot of, I don't even know what it was, because she was in a lot of pain. And she shared with the group how things had been going along fairly well in her life, and they were renting a house, and they didn't know that the owner of the house had lost it in a foreclosure. And she went home, and there was a pink slip notice that her electricity had been turned off. It was in the landlord's name. And she instantly went into this upset and, you know, why is this, and oh, and I can't feed my kids, and I can't turn on hot water, and my refrigerator, my food's going to melt in the freezer, and I don't have much money. I mean, she instantly went into all of this. And she shared this in the group when we got to the canceling part. And all of a sudden, she kind of like, oh, I guess I'd call it, kind of let out a little bit of a yelp. And she went, oh. She, all of a sudden, you could see her was looking within, and she went, oh my God, I see my fibromyalgia. She got exactly what she was doing to cause fibromyalgia. And she said, I see my migraine headaches. I mean, she just got this total hit of, oh my God, what have I done to myself? Now, I suspect she got that so quickly because she had some idea that, you know, the real forgiveness process was an internal process. It wasn't about letting others off the hook. But it was awesome to sit there and watch her as she just got a hold of, oh, I see how I'm doing this to myself. It's me that's doing this. I mean, it was just awesome to be part of it.
Yeah, I can
go ahead.
I get it. To me, you and I have had numerous conversations around this to be able to be in the presence of being part of that. That's the miracles. That's the reward. I can talk to you about this because that's why you and I do this, is that to be present when someone wakes up. That they go,
yes.
Oh, that's it. You know, whether it's with a child, you know, it's kind of like what I had with my cousin Terry the other day, and my brother Terry, now I call him. And it's like that, to be able to be presence of someone waking up to that is the awe, what I call the awe, the spiritual awakening, the miracles of life. And I can just visualize and have that sense and that experience of that waking up for that. So I can almost see you in your response to that. It's like, wow, how cool.
Oh, it was fabulous. It was absolutely fabulous. And when we had about 20 people in the group and everybody saw it, everybody got it. It's like, it was a really powerful experience. And Jeannie just signaled she's got a caller. So Jeannie.
Yeah. And I believe it's Miss Connie. You're on the air.
Well, I was actually had this comment a while back, so might not be as in the flow of the conversation. But you know, when the one person called and we all do our worksheets, and you know, forgiveness is obviously, we all know it's the key. It just dawned on me somewhat recently, you know, the word forgiveness, and I know Michael, you're always looking deeper into words, but if you look at the word forgiveness, it's like forgiveness or giving in advance. So when you're holding a state of forgiveness, to me it seems like it's almost synonymous with holding the active presence of love, because you're forgiving or you're holding that state of love before something comes up. So that really when things come up, you're already in that state of forgiveness or in that state of active present love. So when at some point you get to a point where you're kind of processing as it goes, it's not doing the forgiveness worksheets afterwards, but it's holding that forgiveness state of mind, and then you're doing it instantly. So that was the insight I wanted to share. I'm sure you can elaborate on that.
I don't know how he would elaborate on that any better than what you just did, Connie.
I'm confident he can.
Oh, well, I know. Do you understand that's part of the process is for when you hear it? I think that you're exactly right on, just, you know, just from the realities that I hold about that it is the words and, you know, the for, and that is something thrown forward, and to give. It all is connected in that way, that in order for me to forgive, I must put myself in that place of doing that. So by putting that and planning that within my mind, for my mind to look for that out there, look for the opportunities and holding the space of love, then what will come to me is opportunities for people to let go of, for them to heal, and therefore I'm giving that. I'm giving of myself. I'm connected with that. So that's what it is that's going to resonate. Now, the challenge is that when I've asked for that to come to me so that I can give it, then I will receive that. I will receive those opportunities, which then there is my opportunity for me to let go of more of whatever is unlike love in me. So I like that. And I do want to hear Michael's feedback with that. And to me, that's part of what we're doing is we're having this conversation around it. And I'm having the conversation so that I can reinforce it within myself rather than, you know, you notice that you said something. So now I get that. I'm saying something so that I reinforce it within my structure with it. So let's hear from Michael.
And, of course, David, that's one of the reasons why we're always asking people to teach it to someone else, to share it, because as you speak it, you create a new level of understanding of it. And, Connie, the thing you did with your comment, so beautifully put, was resonated a thought about a poster that I actually, and I'm not sure whether this is on the website or not, Jeannie, I'd have to ask you. Do you know if the poster, A Gift is for Giving, is on the website?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, if it's not, we'll have to put it up there. I'll have to get it together and send it to you. But here's the A Gift is for Giving poster. When forgiving, you never cancel truth, only the shadow laid over truth. Our present reality will forever be our present reality, the output of our minds, will forever influence our future actuality until we learn to forgive. We can only change our future to the extent that we exercise choice and receive our present, that is, gift. Therefore, our present is a gift for our future. As long as the non-being mind rules our perception, we will never experience the true present, as the present will always be an effect of our past. To go to the next level, false forgiveness, the forgiveness of others, must stop. We must reach the point where we can change our present in order to affect change in our future. The power to do that is called choice. The tool is forgiveness. You cannot change your future if your present is negative and you refuse to forgive the vibration from your past that has created the present, which prevents you from receiving the present, the gift.
Well,
we'll put down
on the website.
What's that, David?
I said we could spend a few days on that.
Yeah. We'll make sure that within the next couple of days we post it on the website, because it is something you need to – you see the accents in writing to see the present as the gift and the present as what we call the present. And so we'll make sure that it gets up on the website within the next day or so. And, but people think that when they cancel the goal that they're giving up something valuable, and the truth is all they're giving up is that which is – setting them up for pain and trauma. And as you cancel that goal, you get to go directly to the pain and trauma that's underneath our reality. And as you change what's underneath your reality, you literally change the influence that that vibration, literal vibration, has on what's going to happen in your future. So by changing your present through forgiveness, you change your future. That's the gift. That's called the present. And so it's fun to play with words. Connie, what would be perhaps your most powerful share around how you've seen your reality structure and your life change? Is there anything in particular that you'd be interested in willing to share with us today?
Well, sort of like David, everything changed, so it's kind of hard to say just one thing changed. But I will tell you the most valuable present that I have received from doing the work is that internal peace. I used to be, you know, a business executive, had a very... You know, of course, nobody can give me stress but me, but I had amply given myself a lot of stress about it, and I was in a constant state of turmoil, and even when I was, you know, so-called relaxing, it wouldn't have taken much to, you know, have me back in that real high-stress state. So the present that I have received is I am so at peace. I mean, my brother was just visiting me about a week ago, and so I was kind of out of my normal routine. You know, I have a low-key life, but I was doing the things that, you know, his family wanted to do, so a lot of things that in the past would really be agitating for me, like I don't enjoy going to the strip. So to me, that's like, oh, Lord, that's just horrible. And certain other things. And we did many of the things that in the past would have just really given me a high level or resonated a high level of stress in me. I was like, fine, didn't bother me in the least. I enjoyed them. It was fun. I was bonding with my brother and his family. Didn't matter what we were doing. Didn't matter, you know, if we weren't on schedule, didn't matter anything. I fully enjoyed my time with him. And so it kind of gave me an opportunity to look back and say, wow, in the past that would have really upset me. And I didn't have any of those feelings. So it's that internal state of peace and just contentment that is really the gift. Everything else is an external manifestation of that internal peace that I now live in for the most part.
Cool. That's fabulous. And of course, that's the natural state of a human being living the human life. And so, awesome. By the way, just so that people know, when you talk about the Strip, we're in Las Vegas, and Connie is hosting us. Thank you very much, Connie, for this wonderful space you've created for us to stay in and the invitation to be here. And so when she talks about going out with her brothers at the Strip and his family that went down to the Las Vegas Strip. And it's a pretty, it can be a pretty bizarre place at times. And certainly a hectic hustle and bustle place of people.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Connie. And that's the goal of the whole body of work, and to recognize that when something comes along that resonates something out of our past into our present, and our present reality is upset, it is by forgiving that present reality, you apply forgiveness to that, that allows you to go to the dissociated part of the mind that creates that disturbance and remove it. So you go back to peace. So again, with that little poem that I shared, you know, the present is a gift for our future. Because if the present resonates some form of hostility or fear or pain, that hostility or fear or pain is a marker in your system that indicates that there is an hallucination happening, that your mind is building its pictures, its realities out of hostility and fear. And it's all changeable. Of course, it's not changeable if you think it's out there. But once you realize the feelings come from in here, it's all changeable. And that's the genius of the Aramaic technology of forgiveness. And certainly I acknowledge the source of that, that you know, people look at what I do and what Jeannie and I do as we travel and go, wow, what you guys are doing is so awesome. It's like, yeah, and I wish I had a brain big enough to have figured it out. I didn't figure it out. Yeshua did 2,000 years ago. I just had the privilege of getting to bump into his Aramaic teachings and learn how to integrate them into a worksheet that helps people to understand how that forgiveness process works and how to do it. So we're here to do that and support every mind, heart, and being on the planet. By the way, we are in Las Vegas, and tonight we'll be doing the workshop Naturopathic Keys to Health. Tomorrow night we'll be doing the workshop Laws of Living. If anybody's in the Las Vegas area and you want to come join us, we're at Unity in the Valley. There's a flyer on the website under schedule. You can click on that and download the flyer. It's over at Pecos and Sunset. And then this weekend, actually, we're just about full. We've got a couple of spaces left. We're doing a two-day intensive at Delight Hot Springs in Tecopa, California. And it's a hot springs resort about an hour and a half west of Las Vegas in the California desert. Awesome place where they have these hot springs and resort built around it. So we'll be doing a two-day intensive there where we'll get into the forgiveness process. Why is this happening to me again? We'll be doing a workshop on creating consciously as well as codependence to interdependence. And then mind shifters and still point breathing. So if anybody is ready to do a major chunk of work, if you're not in Las Vegas, you could fly in and get your way to Tecopa Hot Springs. Or if you decided that you wanted to join us the next couple of nights, we'd be delighted to have you. Are there any other comments, Jeannie, on the
No, there's not, and we're less than a minute.
Less than a minute. My goodness, time flies when you're having fun. Oh, it just told me we have a minute and a half, so we're just about to come to a closing point on our show. And again, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.com. You can download the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, free in any one of several languages. We just finished talking to an attorney in Lebanon who's going to translate the book into Arabic. So it won't be long before we have the book in Arabic on our website as well. So the website can be downloaded in English, German, Russian, Spanish, Farsi, and soon to be Arabic. And all the tools are there. There are videos, there are audios. You can spend weeks. Jeannie, I acknowledge you for your awesome work on the website. You can spend weeks there and not find every corner of the website. Please jump on it. Share the tools with yourself, with others. Pass it on. Invite somebody to join you on the show tomorrow. We would love to share these tools with as many people as possible. Our goal is every mind, heart, and being on the planet. If there's somewhere you'd like us to be, let us know. Invite us, and we'll see if we can come and do a workshop series there. Our workshops are free. We pay our own expenses. It's a delight to have you with us. I hope your day is blessed, and that you have the most, you absolutely have the most awesome year yet of your eternal life. That's what we're here to support you in. Blessings.